Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to yet another instance of the Loveline Radio Show. I am your host, DJ Smut 5000, and tonight's topic is going to be pornography and erotica. I have a room full of pornographic and erotic experts with me in the studio, and I'll go around the room and let them introduce themselves. Let's start with you, Ralph.
Hi, I'm Ralph. So, some context on myself for understanding my own reactions. I am into the bondage, domination, and submission, and I have a history of being involved with feminist movements and the feminist theory, which has colored my own attitudes towards pornography.
And that's a lot to get to. So along with Ralph, we've got Spencer. Spencer is...
Hi.
And Job.
Hello.
So, Ralph, you said your experiences with feminists and bondage have colored your interest in pornography. Let's go back to the beginning. Oh, by the way, if you are out there listening and want to call in, the phone numbers are 621-WRCT, 268-WRCT, and that's 268-9728, for those of you who don't have letters on your phone. So let's start at the beginning. Ralph, when did you realize your nascent interest in pornographic materials and various kinds of smut?
Well, let's see. I remember learning to masturbate from a book in the eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Isn't that a little late to be masturbating?
Oh.
Maybe he skipped years.
Hey, you don't know.
When did you start masturbating?
I started masturbating when I was 20.
For all you know, he was sick. He was 7 years old.
Grade in this country from grade to age. Eighth grade is the age. 13.
I did skip one grade.
Before or after eighth grade?
Before.
Interesting.
But I don't know if it's late or not. I don't care.
Did they skip a grade because of your obsessive masturbation problem?
No, because I had
I don't understand learning to masturbate from a book. Well, actually,
an instruction book.
My family did not talk about sex at all. I learned nothing about sex from my family. So
this is really crucial. I'm fascinated by it. If you're out there listening, I need to hear how you learned how to masturbate for the first time. Please call in 621-WRCT. Okay.
So you stayed on the topic for what, for a minute and a half then?
Well, no, I find this intriguing because, it's interesting because I actually had something similar.
Okay, so I'm going to finish the story, and then you're going to tell me how you learned to masturbate.
All right.
So, it was the eighth grade, my parents had gone to China for a month. I was staying with some friends of my family. They had sex books like The Joy of Sex and other stuff.
Oh, God. It's possibly the worst book ever, by the way, but okay. Continue.
I would take those books, read them in
my own personal opinion, my room, not the opinion of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University.
Read them in my room late at night, and it was from that I learned about masturbation and decided to try it myself. Ooh, so early on, I remember...
So you were aware that you had genitalia, but you thought that their function was entirely excretory. Is that true, or did you realize that they were kind of...
I don't remember.
Tingly feeling.
I was... Certainly I was interested enough in sex to pick up the sex books. Mm. I don't remember what my relationship to my genitals was before then.
So you found this book, and what did it say? I mean, was there a step-by-step, rub here until you become bitter? I mean,
you're talking about yourself again.
I can't help but insert myself into any kind of conversation because...
Insert yourself. Mm.
I don't remember. I remember there were several... different methods that were mentioned. One was hand on penis that I've gotten familiar with.
Hand on penis, you say? Now that's an unusual technique.
Well, I'm no longer flexible enough to use my mouth.
Really? Really? So,
And then another was like rubbing against a bed or like inserting the penis between like the mattress and the box springs.
That sounds incredibly painful.
I remember another technique given of like using a shower head and that arousing with the water beating.
Oh, you mean one of these kind of loose, flexible ones, that like the shower massage thing, mm-hmm. where you can just basically point and...
Neither that nor the bed thing really worked for me ever.
Well, I was going to say, my college roommate, his big way of masturbating, don't ask me how I knew this, was to have like simulated intercourse with his bed and basically, you know, kind of...
Simulate intercourse.
I could never figure out. This never seemed very satisfying to me, and I was always afraid. And there's always a danger when you're thrusting against something that you could just actually snap your penis completely off. That was always my fear. And so this notion of like, you know, humping the bed or inserting your penis into a box spring seems too like hazardous to actually be sexually pleasurable. I'm totally shocked at this. And I'm more of the sort of, you know, warm melon kind of person. You know, something soft and kind of yielding.
Warm melon.
Well, for example, I mean, I've never actually masturbated with a warm melon, I guess. But, I mean, you know, that's the idea anyway.
Gosh, and I thought my left hand was different.
So for me, what I've worried about most when masturbating is... making a mess, the getting semen in the indiscreet places.
Right. Such as the melon, for example.
Particularly if, like, this melon is on someone's breakfast
plate. Exactly. So
maybe you'd hollow it out first with a melon baller.
Oh, interesting. So... Well, no, but you need all that interior structure. Anyway, so the point is you don't want to mess up... Well, so what places are indiscreet? I don't understand.
Well,
any
place where my mother is going to come across it.
Like, right.
The semen stains on the sheets are... potentially indiscreet.
Well, so did she know? I mean, were your parents actively anti-masturbation, as mine were? Or were you just too awkward to discuss?
My parents were really silent on the subject.
Interesting.
My father walked in on me masturbating once, which was horribly embarrassing.
Do you still cringe about that experience to this day when you remember it?
A bit,
as
yes.
I do.
But he was more or less okay about it, but told me that I should not be careful not to let my mother walk in on me.
Interesting. Did you get an explanation for that particular restriction?
Not really. Just my mother and I have never talked about sex.
Really, even to this day.
Yes.
So I take it you haven't talked about your own fairly unusual sexual interests
in other
areas. No.
Actually, I think that my... This is a digression, but I think that my parents could deal with knowing about my kinkiness if they had time to grasp the concept intellectually first before trying to grasp it as it applied to me.
Right.
So, for example, I think that they could...
Let me just interrupt you. As a service to our newer viewers, the kinkiness you're referring to is your experiences with bondage... your experiences with role playing, experiences with computer science.
Computer science.
All right.
So, yes.
And so they would need to be slowly introduced to this concept in some kind of abstract sense.
I think that they could handle my coming out to them as gay without particular problems. They'd be awfully surprised.
Well, you're not gay.
They know of how many women I've been involved with, but
interesting.
But they would be accepting of that because they've had a chance to get familiar with the concept of people being gay.
Right, well, there's a whole gay cachet these days in America.
Which pays off for you remarkably, I'm sure.
Yes.
Not anymore.
So, okay.
So, you're going to tell us about how you learned to masturbate.
Well, I will, but let me just defer that.
All of this is a segue to the final 5 minutes of the show.
Which is going
to
be about pornography.
Well, actually, yes.
We're going to get there. We might have to compress the final few minutes, so...
Back to the topic of pornography.
Well, let me just suppress you for a minute, because I'm actually fascinated for a minute by Job. Job said he had a completely powerful introduction to the world of masturbation, and I, for one...
To pornography.
I slipped that. I didn't hear that.
Was that
you're projecting again?
Was that just part of my interior fantasy?
I think it was
world?
Pornography. But
oh, really? Well, but I mean, pornography leads inevitably to masturbation.
No, we were just talking about it not doing so earlier.
All right.
Maybe that's its goal, but
actually,
it doesn't always achieve it.
My first masturbation experience was in a bathtub and had nothing to do with pornography.
Really? So was mine, actually.
Well, same bathtub?
What a coincidence.
The story of, well, actually, my introduction to pornography goes way back to when my brothers and I discovered that my dad had a box of Playboys in his closet.
Playboy is just like barely pornographic.
Yeah.
Really
thanks for helping. Thing. I was trying to figure out when I first knew that there was such a thing. It wasn't my father, though. It was my friend's father.
Playboy is also my introduction to Harlan Ellison, I think. Or, you know, some science fiction writer.
Kurt Vonnegut.
I think the first porn magazine I ever saw was a Hustler that I bought from a friend in Boy Scouts.
Ooh. Yeah, porn did actually circulate around the Boy Scouts a bit, now that I think about that.
Not my troop.
Man.
Neither. I never stayed in Boy Scouts long enough to do the really sexually perverse things, like, you know, go to camp or, you know, be molested by the troop leader or whatever. I left when I was still a cub.
Formative experiences you missed out on.
I know, I'm so bitter about that. The Weebelows, I hear, were really sexually explicit.
But despite all this, I hadn't actually considered the possibility of buying pornography for my own use, even though
you're
I was
11 years old or 8th grade or whatever, right? You can't buy pornography.
Until, well, I also pointed out a little while ago that I started masturbating when I was 20, which was actually after I had started buying pornography.
Wow.
But anyway, I actually sort of started thinking about the possibility of buying pornography when I became interested in expressing my own, you know, sort of erotic interests, many of which are fairly visual and maybe even voyeuristic in nature. And so I thought I had taken an interest in softcore pornography movies on like movie channels and things like that. I would like stay up late and watch them to try and get like little tidbits of things that I wasn't necessarily supposed to be seeing, and that was pretty interesting. But aside from that, I never had really been satisfied by them because they just never quite aligned with what I thought my interests were. So I thought if I could actually, you know, learn how to draw these things, maybe that would be interesting.
Ooh. Mm. Little did you know.
No more.
So, when I spent my senior year as an undergrad abroad in Scotland, And I had conversations with my flatmates about the interesting nature of British pornography, which is different than American pornography.
It is very different.
And at the same time, I was teaching myself to draw and getting a little bit better. But I was getting bored with the things that I had to draw around, newspaper pictures and things like that. I was very interested in the human figure because of what it inspired me to learn how to draw in the first place. So I started considering the idea of going out and buying pornographic magazines to use them as models. But this was really confrontational for me. I had a hard time with the concept of going into this, little corner British drugstore thing, and this old woman's at the counter, and I come up, this 20-year-old guy and plop down this porno mag, and my pound 50 or whatever.
Yes.
And so it actually became a challenge.
20. You were 20?
He was 20.
I was 20.
She was 60.
You were senior year abroad.
In high school?
Undergrad.
Pay attention.
Undergrad.
College. College senior. I think I'm a high school senior. Oh, you still haven't masturbated yet. Okay. Okay, I'm with you.
So that was in a bathtub in my flat in Scotland. Anyway.
Interesting.
Have you ever been to Scotland?
I've never been to Scotland.
So it wasn't the same bathtub after all.
Ah. We tried. So it actually became sort of a dual challenge for me. I had to confront my fear of the social stigma of purchasing pornography, and but I had what I thought was a good reason, which was I wanted to, aside from exploring the erotic potential of British pornography, I also wanted to draw naked subjects.
This can't be. So you developed this whole rationalization for your pornographic desires.
Yep.
in this like. False interest in art.
It wasn't really a false interest in art.
No, I mean, come on.
It sounds like he leveraged his interest in art, too.
Well, okay. I mean, that's
for
to
the
justify
exactly more erotic interest. I mean, I don't think that's a particularly. I think erotic art has a long and staid history and probably is the subject of this.
Well, I mean, come on. Here you are.
The
you
Mona Lisa, for instance.
You've never masturbated. You don't have the nerve to go buy a pornographic magazine. And the only way you can get yourself to do it is to pretend that it's art. I mean, I think that's pretty sad.
Well, I'm going to be more supportive because I can really empathize with that anxiety about buying porn. And the fear that, like, it'll turn out to be someone who goes to church with you. Mm-hmm. Or something. Or, in my case, since I first started trying to buy porn before I was 18, the fear that this person will card you and embarrass you that way.
Mm.
So I can respect what you are going through.
Well, it turned out to be a pretty transforming experience through confronting that fear or whatever, I actually became really very open about all things sexual, and had a lot more, a lot less hang-ups, I suppose, after that.
Well, that was because you were in a you weren't in the U.S. with its Puritan overtones.
Could be.
I mean, everyone knows, the liberal nature of the British is well known. I'm sorry. This is Scotland. It's not England. It's actually a little different.
So just so I understand the timeline, I don't know if I understand the timeline. When you bought this pornography, and immediately this altered your.
No. Each time it became easier, and then I became sort of, after I left Scotland, I sort of reflected on the whole thing and realized how silly it was to have built it up into this big fear. And then I thought, what do I care what other people think? So
what happened in the bathtub that fateful day? Soaping up.
Here he was on topic, and you're.
Curiously, it was pretty close to my time in Scotland, and I had already, gone through drawing a number of my, attempting to draw a number of my sexual fantasies, and I still had not masturbated at this point.
These were women? Men?
Yes, women.
Were they, like, posing or displaying their genitalia? Like, what kinds of things would you draw?
Well, so the best drawings were actually just drawings of the models in the magazines, because I, despite my goal of being able to draw my fantasies, I never did get good enough at visualizing to be able to draw what I thought. I am not a cartoon artist or whatever, you know. I mean, somebody who can, you know, draw an imagined scene at this point. So I never really did fulfill the whole idea of drawing my fantasies. That was yet another unsatisfying thing. But
how can you have sexual fantasies if you don't even masturbate? I mean, how is that possible?
You have such a closed mind.
Well,
what can I throw at you, Corey?
DJ Smut 2000. It's not closed-mindedness. It's a willingness to just tell it like it is. And excuse me, if you know, the whole point of having sexual fantasies is to arouse yourself sexually so that you can reach the state of heightened arousal, and then you cap it all off with a delicious little masturbation experience and your climax where you release all this sexual tension. And it's
how you spend your free time may not be the same as how other people.
And I just can't even imagine the structure of having sexual fantasies. Well, okay, so like,
you may not perceive them as strictly sexual. They might be, you know, part of something else.
So imagine you're a person who is pre-masturbatory. You're in a lifestyle where you don't know what masturbation is, and you don't do it.
I knew what it was. I just didn't do it.
What does sexual arousal feel like? Did you get erections?
Of course. Regularly. Well,
I mean, it's obvious to you, but because you lived it. It's not obvious to me. So you're getting these erections, and then did you know what they meant?
Yes, and I knew what masturbation was, and I knew an awful lot about sex. I had even read The Joy of Sex
and
other books
as well. But you didn't want to masturbate, or you didn't, or what was the thing that prevented you from masturbating?
I didn't do it. There wasn't any prohibition. My parents were reasonably cool about sex. They sat me down at some point when I was in middle school. Gave me some a book, also I believe by Alex Comfort.
Who is Alex Comfort?
Author of The Joy of Sex.
There you go. But this one was tailored towards teens or something like that. And said, if you have any questions, fire away. But by that time, being the inquisitive sort, I was already relatively educated, and so.
Happened to me too. So, I'd like to ask, was there any significant change accompanying your masturbating for the first time? Changing your attitudes, your interaction with the porn, whatever?
Well, I definitely started using pornographic material in masturbation, though the first time I didn't.
I have to apologize to our viewers. When I said The Joy of Sex was terrible, I actually meant that other book is terrible. I'm confused. That book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, that book is terrible. Oh, I apologize to the legions of Joy of Sex fans out there. Please.
I'm not a big fan of The Joy of Sex either.
It has a couple of scenes. Dr. Scott Comfort or whatever his name is. Please.
Alex Comfort.
Alex, you have
Alex and Jane Comfort, actually.
Oh, I forgot.
All right, continue your little ramblings.
Yeah, so
talking about porn.
I did actually start using pornographic materials in masturbation.
I wasn't paying attention, and we've already skipped over the masturbation. Did we talk about this? Was I not paying attention?
Oh, the first masturbation, it was not terribly exciting. I was sitting in the bathtub soaping up my penis, and gosh darn, it felt good.
So it happened. So you didn't expect this, or
no? There was a conscious decision sometime during it to continue the activity.
Interesting.
I had been confronted on this before when I was a sophomore in college. An extremely sexually active friend of mine who was a freshman amused himself by administering my roommate and I a purity test, and they were both stunned when we got to the "Have you ever masturbated?" question, and I said no, and they're like, "Oh, come on, you can tell us." And I'm like, "No," and they're like, "Stop lying." they would not believe it. So, you know, the concept was already out there. It's just something that I hadn't done. Stunning, isn't it?
It's very interesting to me.
The thing that, well, physiologically anyway, the thing that's always intrigued me about it is, according, I read once in like the Kinsey Report or something like that, somebody had asked whether there was a correlation between masturbation frequency and nocturnal emissions. And they claimed that there wasn't. But I don't know what how their study went or something like that, but because I had nocturnal emissions approximately twice a week until I started masturbating.
Twice in one
night, which is pretty impressive.
I don't know that I've ever had nocturnal emissions. I remember being curious about them and trying to hold off on masturbating for long enough to see if that would...
Always the scientist.
Yeah, part of what led me into masturbating was just curiosity that, this is something I can do by myself. I wonder what that's like. That was the same attitude that led me to try to perform fellatio on myself.
Anything but the topic is
well, you know.
Was there pornography involved in this attempt to perform fellatio on yourself?
It's not. Well, I read about it in pornography, but it's hard to get yourself into that position and pay attention to porn.
Granted.
So how old were you when you started experience with pornography? I remember the masturbating over the bra ads in the Sears catalog, which really shows how...
So Spencer just nodded his head knowingly sagely. Now, why is that? Why is it like a universal male experience that we all masturbated to the Sears catalog?
Hardly. Well, you're surprised.
Of course I masturbated to the Sears catalog, but it was the power tools section. Fascinating. Me. So, you know, it's a different kind of thing. But you know, these bra ads are so, I mean, maybe I'm just lacking the proper... heterosexual context.
They're so damn tame. Very tame.
Dang tame, you mean, of course.
Yes.
And of course, we do not. WRCT does not sponsor any particular kind of powdered breakfast drink. Tame. Tame. Tang. Okay. Well, I know, but. I'm sorry.
So, in retrospect, yes, they're tame. At the time.
Why is that an issue?
That I didn't have any access to the pornography, and I guess I was just very horny. And
so how did you go from looking at bra-wearing models in the Sears catalog to auto fellatio? I mean, what's the connection there?
I don't think there really is a direct connection.
And so
at some point, I bought a book by Xavier Hollander, the quote, happy hooker.
The so-called happy hooker.
Yes.
The whole title of that is, I think that's impressive. Why can't hookers be happy? Why do we have this societal assumption that hookers are, you know, somehow damaged or unhappy?
Because of the economic issues associated with the systematic exploitation of prostitutes. But I don't want to talk about that tonight.
All right. Well, okay. We'll just push that on the stack for the time being. So there you are, interested in performing auto fellatio. And
why don't we talk about porn instead?
Well, you have to stop
talking about anything other than porn, and we can get back.
I'm actually interested because when I was younger, I actually was successful I would try auto fellatio a lot, and I would sort of be able to do it, but it was always a struggle and was never particularly satisfying. Yet I had this craving to keep returning to it,
my experience was much the same. I probably tried about a dozen times total, and I was flexible enough to get that penis to mouth, but but I couldn't really enjoy it because of how bent up I was.
And so what position were you in? So is this the sort of backward somersault kind of thing, or is this like, you know, the leg over the neck yoga style, or what?
Backwards somersault thing, like on my shoulders with my back going up at the wall, legs bending over.
Yeah, that's basically what I did too. And then you're basically pulling or pushing or something your penis to make it as long and stretchy as possible. And I never did very well. I mean, I probably got, you know, the tip of my tongue touching sort of the tip of my penis, but that's because I wasn't particularly neither flexible or endowed enough to really do a good job of it. But
back to the real topic, perhaps.
Sure. But you know, be my guest. It's not my fault that we keep going off on these tangents.
No, not at all. Right. Everyone else keeps on coming up.
But how is British pornography different? For example.
I would welcome your comments on this, Jove. In my opinion, British porn, one thing I've noticed in the British porn that I've seen, which is probably not completely representative, is that the blurbs about the women that they're showing are completely ridiculous. Like go on about like the editor's fantasies about lemon curd, for example.
About what?
Lemon curd.
Oh, so wait. Actually, so we're talking about photos, lemon curd? Not sorry, not written text. Primary, first of all.
Well, yes, photo magazines, and yeah. The text shows a different set of common fetishes than the American texts do. So, that, for example, there are a lot of stories about the old guys being dressed up in their wife's garments. That, for example,
that's bizarre. Now, is it true? I mean, I actually just ordered.
What happens when you grow up on Benny Hill?
Is it true that I just ordered some gay pornography from the UK, and
I have no experience with gay pornography, but so I have no idea how well my experiences generalize. Go ahead.
Nevertheless, the thing that struck me about all this pornography is it was all very nice, but it was all kind of. It was clear that there was some line that they weren't crossing. It wasn't quite as hardcore as the other gay pornography I was used to. Is this are laws or postal laws there stricter or something? Or what am I?
As far as I know, Britain has the strictest laws about that sort of thing in the European Union.
I do remember a lot of like the usual ads that you find for phone sex lines and things like that in all the in the British porn magazines. A lot of them had the black bars over what would have been penetration or would have been
or
contact on genitals. That they just were not allowed to show anything even remotely suggesting that.
And I remember that lots of asterisks in words so that there would be like S asterisk, 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 etc. G, instead of spanking, which wouldn't be asterisked out of a U.S. magazine.
Intriguing. Well, unless it was like People magazine or something or pathetic like that. They asterisk out just about anything. The magazine is nothing but asterisks sometimes. So, I had a thought and it's gone.
Oh, no, I have standards. I don't buy People.
Particularly not when I'm looking for pornography.
Well, it's a different kind of pornography.
It depends what you're looking for. You know.
Well, I suppose so. It is not to my taste. So I'm going to seize the discourse and turn to another question about how do y'all draw the line between erotica, pornography, and smut and any other lines in the vicinity feel like it.
Well, I'll tell you what's obscene. You know what's obscene? I wanted to have a little 30-second moment of silence, actually, for this Tucker woman. What's her name? Louise? No. Who was executed in Texas today. I think that's a total travesty, and I think that is the most pornographic thing that I have ever seen. The notion that...
What?
That's civilized...
They show it, why? You actually got some exclusive feed? You actually got to watch the execution?
Well, no, I don't mean sexually arousing. I mean obscene, the fact that a civilized country, you know, the United States being one of the few civilized countries that actually executes its citizens...
You should have thought of this last week when you couldn't focus on non-sex.
Ms. Tucker was still alive last week. She hadn't been killed.
She's had this death sentence over her head for 14 years.
There is
plenty of time in past shows to talk about her.
Well, no, I didn't think it would happen. I thought her sentence, I thought Governor Bush or whoever would have, what is Governor Bush?
Yeah,
right? Taking this 30-day delay.
He wants to know.
George Bush's son?
Yes.
Another one of his sons was almost governor or something in Florida. It's a whole dynasty. He's the next new Kennedys.
Really?
Yeah, the whole Bush dynasty.
Fabulous.
Well, you know he's the son of a senator, too.
Bush is the son of a senator? No, I did not know that.
All right.
Who's that?
Let's go back to
that. All right.
So here's a poor question. Do you find what's the name of his wife?
Barbara Bush.
Thank you. Right.
Do I find what?
What do you think about her? Do you find her? You know, if you saw pictures of her and people, would that be the sort of thing that would cause you to buy people?
I have seen pictures of her and people, and it's disturbing. She has some kind of disease, right, that makes her look strange. I mean, I'm serious. Is that not true? She's got some kind of bloating disease or some kind of weird disease that makes her look funny. I'm serious. I don't mean to disparage the ex-first lady. I think
back to Ralph's question.
Woman.
Of course, there's no way. I don't know if there is any objective measure.
Of what?
I'm not looking for objective measures. I'm looking for the individual feelings. The societal definition that I would suggest is that the erotica is the porn that it's socially okay to like. That's so because what's called erotica is, in its sense, like denatured porn, the porn that has been removed of some of its sexual aspects to make it redeeming, the quote unquote. My own definition for myself would be that what I call erotica, I experience the arousal and deal with it intellectually in my head. What I call porn, I experience in my gonads,
completely viscerally.
Yes, And so I'm not completely satisfied in my search because I want to find something that I experience in both places at once.
So
yesterday is that smut 5000?
That definition fascinates. I think that's a very handy definition. Erotica arouses your mind. Pornography arouses your genitals. I mean, not just your gonads, presumably, but the whole genitalia package, I presume, is aroused appropriately.
Yes, it's where I feel, kind of, quote, the center of the experience.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I guess I would have drawn the line on how explicit everything is. Right? You could talk about this. You could talk about the same event in as erotica or as pornography, I believe.
Or as the clinical, totally non-sexy.
Right. Right. All right. So I mean,
description of.
Well, I mean, I think we can get even. If you want to be really abstract, I think that erotica incorporates some attempt, or interest by the artist, quote unquote, in being artistic, and that just strict pornography is. A presentation of naked people, or sex acts.
In the case of, well, perhaps in the case of pornography for men, women respond differently, so maybe it can't just be... Today we were talking about this earlier, and I was very disturbed by this whole... You know, you hear this notion so many times bandied about that it's just assumed to be true, this, like, men perceive pornography differently than women. Is that just not a load of crap? Garbage?
I don't know. I've only lived life as a man.
I don't think it's a heterosexual man. Load of crap. I don't know just how true it is, and I'm not completely sure that... you can generalize to all men and all women, but I think it is true that men are buying the and using the vast majority of the porn being produced today. Now, I don't know whether it would be possible to change things so that women participated more in the use of pornography. And I don't know whether it would be desirable to do so if it were possible.
Well, I wonder what the numbers would look like if you included the romance novel sales in the calculation on the women's side, for instance.
Good question.
And they certainly take up an incredible amount of real estate in stores. You can see the pink. The pink is blinding. You can see as soon as you walk in the door, you can see the pink section of the store. Right?
All those different aspects of Fabio are pretty astounding. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Who I just saw on Court TV, by the way.
That's nice. Can we talk about that after the show?
Yeah. Well, it's just very interesting. He's quite a bit less... Anyway, all right, you're right. Continue, if you...
Erotica is artist is
erotica is trying to be art.
I mean, I think I heard somebody once jokingly refer to like pornographic pictures versus erotic pictures as, you know, the erotic ones are black and white.
And which I think suggests that this distinction is pretty vacuous in some sense. I mean, you know, they're all different forms of art, right? And they have different qualities. And
well,
some are more highfalutin than others, but can you really?
I think there's a lot more question about whether porn, in the sense that we're using it, is the really art. It might be said that it's art to the same extent that, say, advertising is art, that it's... I feel a little squidgy as art myself.
Squidgy?
Squidgy.
I think you can say that on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a temptation to confuse, like, high production value with artistic intent. You know, just because it is well photographed doesn't mean that it's necessarily intended to be artistic.
Let me just interrupt you. Producer Kate appears to have a comment that she'd like to share with us.
Well, first of all, you guys just had a call complimenting your efforts this evening, but in terms of women's perception of pornography versus men's, I do think there's a difference there. Just because of you can't say for everyone of a particular sex, but I think men tend to be more stimulated visually than women are.
That certainly is the conventional wisdom.
Well, it's definitely my own personal experience, and it seems to be the women, female friends that I've had enough that were open enough to talk about it. It seemed to be the case with them.
Could I ask you a sort of personal question?
Sure.
What's your opinion of do you enjoy romance novels?
Not particularly, no.
So are there materials or are there forms of art? Are there things that arouse you?
Absolutely
not. Presumably
there are.
We hope.
Oh, well, sure.
But if they're not visual imagery, what class of things arouse you?
A lot of times it's smells or sounds.
Ooh,
or sounds. Tactile.
Or what?
Tactile stimulation.
Hmm.
So that's the popularity of toys with women
maybe,
as opposed to men.
Maybe.
What toys? Women are more into toys than men?
Oh, I don't know.
No, but come on.
I have no idea.
I have no idea about...
But they are popular among women, I don't know.
They are what?
They are popular among women, I guess. I don't know how that compares.
Hazard a guess that they're more popular among women than men.
I don't know.
I don't think that's saying too
much. But that may have something to do with with strictly biological, not necessarily psychological or cultural.
Accessibility is a little bit more.
So I have a female friend who's very interested in textual pornography from the internet. For example, I have a story right here from the Mulder Krycek Romantics Association, which you can access on.
So this qualifies as fan fiction, I guess.
I mean, this is hypothesizing a hypothetical homosexual affair between Fox Mulder and this Krycek FBI
guy. This is the whole David Duchovny is gay myth, right? Urban legend, right?
It's not even David Duchovny. It's his character having a homosexual relationship with another character. And anyway, the point is that she seems to enjoy a lot of written erotic fiction. And I was wondering if there's a male-female distinction that any of you see between the visual versus sort of the written.
You haven't told me if the text is written as if the text is erotic or pornographic.
But I don't think that needs to be answered. So I'll say that there's a difference between the visual and textual, because in text you can do a much stronger job of getting into the minds of the people participating or the characters participating, instead of just showing pictures of the bodies.
Presenting states of mind and motivations and things like that.
Yes, and this is part of why I like the text porn myself. What really turns me on in porn is not so much seeing bodies in however many permutations of three bodies you can arrange, but...
Three?
Okay, 17 and special cases. But what really turns me on is seeing depictions of other people's lust. Understanding other people's arousal really turns me on.
Well, so what this really suggests is not necessarily this kind of distinction between visual and written porn, but more what you need is the media are themselves overly limited, and what you need is some kind of fabulous multimedia CD-ROM kind of thing where you can like see pornography and then like click on people's brains and have them explain what they're feeling at that time to you, and so you can dynamically alternate between the visual and the emotional, if you will.
Possibly, but there you raise the issue of like, if I'm masturbating to this and like the semen shorts out the $5,000 of electronics,
well, that's
going to be so off-putting.
So we only been talking about those two types of those two media for pornography, about videos, which may have which not in any case I've ever seen, but could potentially have plot lines.
So I've seen videos with plot lines, and
the best one I ever saw didn't really have a plot line, but was just really well produced and had interesting presentations of at least mildly alternative. Kinks, sexual.
Some of the best ones I've seen have just been short vignettes. And one of the porn movies I've with a plot that I've seen, Cafe Flesh, was just about the worst porn film I have ever seen.
Yeah. Most of the ones that I've seen that have plots end up sort of sounding like really badly acted soap operas, where the characters have sex a lot of the time.
Okay, so I think we could easily divide distinguish erotic motion pictures from pornographic motion pictures. I suspect
erotic motion pictures are the ones where when the action gets hot and heavy, the camera goes off and focuses on the billowing curtains,
or the crashing waves of the Pacific.
Somebody biting into an apple.
I don't know. I mean, because the one good porn movie that I saw that was legitimately a porn movie, it was in the but what actually it was reasonably erotic by my definition, among other things, it had no dialogue.
What was it called?
I wish I could remember.
This was some kind of Buñuel surrealistic experiment of the 30s? Or?
No, no, it was fairly recent.
Was it an Andrew Blake film?
It may have been.
I've liked several Andrew Blake films.
Yep.
Hidden Obsessions. There's some other
bookmarkings. Andrew Blake, is this the main? Can I get these videos at like Blockbuster? Well, obviously not Blockbuster.
Not Blockbuster.
You can get them heads together. I know.
Really? In that room behind the little corral there. Oh, and they're in the adult section.
Yes.
Hidden Obsession.
That is one that I remember.
Well, oh, it was.
Or it had something to do with the Good Vibrations catalog.
Dreams, something. But anyway, well.
House of Dreams.
Yeah, that was it. I think actually. Yeah, it was pretty good. Anyway, it had no dialogue, had reasonable music, was fairly high production quality, and
good-looking people, great-looking costumes.
Yeah, it had good sets, had interesting situations.
If it was entirely there was no dialogue, then it had to convey its, you know, part of the message entirely visually. So it wasn't. How did you get the effects that you claim to crave, you know, knowing the character's internal motivations and understanding their feelings?
Well, that was my claim.
Well, you're all the same to me.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen it, and there is some enjoyment to seeing good-looking people, but also watching people's reactions, like, seeing someone gasp when he or she is stimulated, can convey a lot of that arousal.
We have less than a minute left, and I would like this. Since I have all these sexual experts in the studio, I would like to ask one final question because I have a suspicion about this. Yes or no? A quick question: have you or have you not masturbated in an airplane? I know I have. Ralph has, I know that. So that's 2 out of 5 already. Don't know about producer Kate. Job?
Nope.
Well, this would have to be after age 20 for you, but no, not even.
Flying back from Scotland, maybe.
Spencer?
No.
No sexual contact in an airplane at all?
Wait, what'd you say?
Well, that's a broader question. So question 2, producer Kate also said no masturbation. Sexual contact in general?
The
sexual activity.
Touching, nothing constantly.
Okay.
I'll note that my masturbating was only in the bathroom of the airplane.
Interesting. All right, we'll have to cover that topic next week. We have to go. It's a little bit after midnight. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Oh, I see the moon. Let's take a walk on the moon. Come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs. Listen every day at 5 p.m. for fine WRCT Public Affairs programming, only on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. If you have comments or questions regarding this or any WRCT Public Affairs program, send them to WRCT Public Affairs, 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Margaret Morrison Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Or send email to gh1w@andrew.cmu.edu.